Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live and it is happy hour. Let's do this thing. This is PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories here in the world of physical therapy. I'm Jimmy McKay, I'm a PT, but sometimes I put headphones on and pretend I'm a radio DJ again. I'll be your host tonight, broadcasting live from the Aureus Medical Staffing Studio, also known as my bedroom. Find them online at AUREUSmedical.com. They're the leaders in travel physical therapy, so if you want to let your PT license take you around this country, get paid for it, all different settings, all 50 states, find them online, AUREUSmedical.com. Again, that is AUREUSmedical.com. The way this works is we are video casting the show. So live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Find us on the socials at PT Pintcast. Or you can subscribe to the podcast, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Deezer Radio, Stitcher, wherever fine podcasts are heard, wherever crappy podcasts are heard. We're going to be there as well, too. During the live show, you can drop questions or comments. Feel free to do that if you want to interact. We'll see if we can bring those some of those into the show. Or if you just want to let us know where you're watching from. We kind of like that. It's a little weird how this whole internet thing works and, you know, the interwebs and things just find their way. So let us know where you're at in the comments below. Or you can feel free to give me a text message. That's actually my real phone number on the screen. I dare you to text me. I bet you won't. First round is brought to you by our friends at Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification and personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it properly, pause for dramatic effect, in your clinical practice. Don't just be tying stuff up. It's a tourniquet, okay? Find out more information about BFR at OwensRecoveryScience.com. We've got a really interesting guest. He's got a non-traditional background. I like that sort of thing. His name's James Heathers. He's on the show right now. James, welcome to the program.
Hey, that's a spirit. Oh, man. I finally get to do a podcast where there's someone cheering for me. And there it's a beer podcast with someone's cheering for me.
I do a lot of audio recording throughout the day. And since we're now, everything's socially, you know, I'm pretty much by myself the whole time. I'll just be hearing I'll complete a task or something. I'll be like, you know what, Jimmy, great job. Hey, thanks. Hey, that's great of you to ask. Appreciate you paying attention. And it does a little psychological thing.
It feels good. You get a little tickle.
I don't know what stand-up comedian I heard this from, though. He said, and it was a great bit. He's like, when I'm with my girlfriend and we're doing the dibbity, he's like, I always play live albums because at least I get an applause out of there and I get a reaction. So I always thought that was good.
Poor little fella.
All right, first James is always the hardest. We get it out of the way first. What are we drinking? I know you got something good up your sleeve.
Well, you said this was a beer cast. Now, everyone who's listening won't know this, but Jimmy knows this. We set this up. Jimmy had to cancel. We set it up again. I had to cancel. We finally managed to make it work. So I'm going to go all out for this one. You say, let's talk shop and also drink beer. Man, I got you. So I got my favorite beer shirt.
I like it. I don't know what it is, though. What is that?
This is from Barreled Souls Brewery in Maine, a tiny little brewery that only make barrel-aged beers that opened up a couple of years ago. Easily my favorite brewery in New England. Been there a dozen times. I have my favorite beer glass, which is from Zwanzerday in 2016, the year that they made the Framboise. And the first thing we are drinking is, you might think, that's a regular lambic beer, James. It's an Oud Gersboon à l'ancienne.
It's got a cork. Wow, 2014. You're going all out.
We're going old tonight, my friend. I don't age a lot of beer because I don't have the space in the apartment, but there's nothing to stop me going to the fancy bottle store and buying one that someone else aged for me. So this is the 2014 L'Ancien.
I'm waiting to hear the pop.
There you go.
Cheers. Cheers to you as you. Oh, I don't want to cheer. Really, you got to.
Here we go. Let's not get it on the computer.
That's smart.
As the vicar said to the netball team, And there we go. A beer actually not too far from Cantillon itself, geographically.
Cheers.
There you go.
I'm doing Corona. To your health as well. In the spirit of Corona, in the spirit of the summer ending, I was trying to get a little bit of summer left in there, and I got, you are really enjoying the hell out of that. I like that.
That is so good. Oh, dear me. Oh, now we have to talk about work, but that's okay.
Here's the cool part is I think you have a really, really interesting background, and I love bringing that sort of thing to this show. I kind of bring my weird background of radio broadcaster to physical therapy, but you bring something a little bit different. So, I mean, I don't want to ask, like, so what do you do, right? That's a crappy question. So I'll ask, what are you passionate about?
On a research level?
Yeah.
Finding bad research and beating it up a bit.
That's actually how I came across you, was a Twitter feed, right? You want to talk about that first? We can get into that.
So yeah, sure. A Twitter, which one?
Yeah, so Just Says in Mice. That's how I came across you. So let's talk about that one first. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely. I was working for a while on a project that was about basically fact-checking science in the media. And I got to the end and I'd fact-checked a bunch of things and I wrote a very good report for the people who were paying me. And it was stuck in my head that what I was doing couldn't scale. That the techniques that I came up with, which are maths essentially, for looking through bad research were something that you had to learn to use. It's a real hassle.
You couldn't.
And it's very hard to.
Right.
I mean, obviously maths is easy to automate, but getting the figures that go into the calculations out of research papers, which are a mess, they're not designed to be read by machines. Machines are very good at some things, but interpreting information that has kind of human capacity baked into it is not one of them. It's why natural language processing is such a huge thing. It's why we've had so many people hate PDFs, because you can't get a PDF file and turn it into information a computer can handle.
Right.
It's why there's a movement to put academic research papers in XML format rather than in PDF format. So I was thinking about scale, and if I'm being fully honest, I was hungover. And it was a morning in April that was just after my birthday. I'd celebrated something on a wildly inappropriate night. And I woke up and there were two separate news stories on the same day that were reporting scientific advances that weren't really what they said they would be. These were not everything Ladies Home Journal said they could be, believe me. It was, and everyone sees these headlines. Neuroscientist finally cures neurofibrillar tangles. No, he didn't. He did it in a rat with a dose of something that killed the rat 5 days afterwards, and the rat only had 7 rat friends. It's probably very good science. It's interesting. But it's not the cure. It's not for people. It's in an animal model. Likewise flies, likewise worms, likewise cells, but usually, because of how biomedical science is, usually in mice. So I thought, screw it, I'll start a funny Twitter account because this is on my mind. By the next morning, I had 6,000 followers. Which is for a, and the joke is you find a bad headline and you retweet it and you put in mice on the end of the headline, the way people used to put in bed, or that's what your mum said on the end of sentences at school.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is humor on a basic level, but because it's such a common mistake and because it rubs so many scientifically literate people up the wrong way, a lot of people found it very, very funny, much funnier than me. I mean, I have great fun running it. But there's an awful lot of people who get to see a joke for the first time, and that's why it scales.
Right.
And very soon, the account went in a week. It had 41,000 followers, and now it's crested somewhere over, I'm not even sure. There you go. Didn't even know. Yeah. And look at that. You and 39 of your friends follow it because it's funny. But at the same time, it is continually pushing a button that continues to matter. And something that's really interesting, when it was going for about 6 months, I went to the Daily Mail science webpage, an organization not knowing for the extreme fidelity of the accuracy of their reporting, and they had four animal studies being reported, and they all identified mice correctly in the headline, if it was a mouse-appropriate wow. model, because journalists don't like being laughed at. Now, you know, think global, act local, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's the nice thing about Twitter. Twitter scales. So, you know, think smart ass, act global, same difference. Done. I love doing stuff like that.
This is great. And here's why. I mean, I didn't even notice that, but you picked up on that, which is, yeah, but I follow 71,000 other people follow, but yeah, like 36, 37, 38, 38 of my friends follow. I think it says exactly what you did is it keeps hitting that button or keeps touching that nerve by people who are annoyed by it. Hmm. And a guy with a degree in communications, I can see where that misinformation would go, right? I mean, people just say, well, looks like we've solved spinal cord injuries, all done here, and go home because this guy did his trial somewhere.
Oh yeah.
In mice, here's the best part. The scientist was just saying, here's my results. Someone took that, twisted it to get a couple of clicks or a couple of views or a couple of downloads. And now we've got misinformation circulating. And if we're ever in an era right now where we can understand how dangerous misinformation, I think we're in it right now. It's only going to get worse. But you think about what you just said. The creation of that Twitter page actually caused the Daily Mail to kind of pump the brakes and make sure they inserted something so they wouldn't be the butt of a joke down the road, because they knew that somebody would pass you that link and then you'd circulate it and everybody would have a laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it happened relatively fast. And the one time I got it wrong, you can bet your et ceteras that the journalist found out that I got it wrong and immediately wrote to me and went, "That's a very irresponsible micing you've handed out there, young man."
What was it? Do you remember? Like the
No, I'm afraid I don't. It was months and months and months ago. I try never to do it in a hurry and to make 100% certain that what I'm identifying is being misreported. I've got two things that are a favorite to come out of this account. One is the fact that there's a bag of copycat accounts, which I love. I fully encourage everyone to copycat it as much as possible. Because we've got just as in cells, just as in rats, just as in weird, which is things that are about weird. Weird is a thing within the social sciences. White, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. So basically you're saying, hey, I studied 85 19-year-old undergraduates from Kansas, and now that gives me insight into the broad spectrum of humanity. No, you don't. You don't have that at all. You've got a study that is within a specific population of people. Maybe it does generalize, but you haven't checked that yet. Yeah. So that's what that's about. There's one that is for trials that are only conducted in men, which is something that happens both in the human and the animal experimentation worlds from time to time, because it's quite a common thing, actually, within animal experimentation to not work with female animals, just in case the hormones get in the way. It's actually been the source of a lot of medical mistakes. It's some combination of lazy, patronizing, and irresponsible. I mean, it's okay, so it's hard. Well, I mean, sorry, you want to do something easier? I don't know. Become a toy designer. No, now all the toy designers are annoyed at me. It's extremely difficult, James. The wheels on that Tonka truck didn't design themselves. But pick your own easy profession. But yeah, become a real estate agent. That's a good one. Sorry, Sean. Sean sold me my house. He's a lovely man.
Well, James, I appreciate you doing it, and that's what kind of made me trip across you. I just thought it was a great example. I heard a former guest on this show said something similar. When he actually put it to some figures. He said, when you read a study that's done in just, in mice, before it ever gets to humans, and I don't want to misquote him, but I think he said something like, you're talking at best 5 years and $10 million. He's saying from where typically, and he was generalizing there, if you see success in something, just to test it or to get through the tests in humans, he was like, it's still 5 years. At best, it's 5 years and $10 million bucks away.
5 years and $10 million. Yeah, it's something like that. It's something like that. I've seen different figures that are quoted on how that works, and it depends how much you get held up going through the
processes,
going through the different stages. And of course, that's also assuming that it gets there in the end.
Right.
Because very little does.
For good reason.
Not usually because it kills people, usually because it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very small amount of like drugs and all other therapeutics as well. We always think of drugs, but there's plenty of other stuff, procedures, treatments, protocols, ways of deploying things that already exist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, oh man, I'd be guessing. Let's not guess. This is an empirical show, huh?
No, absolutely. Completely. So what is your background in? Educated in, or what other stuff have you gotten into? Cause I feel like you've got an interesting
psych masters, years worth of exercise physiology as an elective student, a PhD in what was essentially biosignal analysis and physiology, postdoc in electrocardiological signal analysis, 4 years of using wearable devices to do physiological measurement. So a lot of data stuff, a lot of inference stuff. And now I work for a company that makes a device for PTs.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing. When I saw Just Says in Mice, I was like, that's cute. I'm going to follow that. And then I did some digging. I was just like, well, let's see who runs this thing, because this is interesting. Yeah. And then I found out, hey, the guy who runs it, the guy who started it, he actually does some cool stuff for PT. So let's talk about that. So it's called Cypher again. So we'll put the website up because I think it's pretty cool looking.
It's amazing. You hope people will like a website and you spend lots of money on the redesign, and then you cross your fingers and you go, please, please like it. And our marketing team did a fantastic job and the website turned out beautiful. I really like it now. Okay. This is a suite of on-body wearable measurement devices. And what it's for in the short term, obviously there's a big long term here. What it's for in the short term is collecting motion and joint angle data off people from something that is indistinguishable to what that good looking fella on the website is wearing on his limbs from compression garments.
So just clothes.
The tech is hidden in a compression garment. We had a marvelous investor call the other day where the CEO held up a sleeve, and the guy who was going to invest went, is all the hardware in that? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's so it looks the enclosed sleeve, which is the arm sleeve that's about to go into manufacturing in the near future. The next month or so, it will be a physical thing that you can actually buy. It looks like that has hardware in it.
Wow.
So that does a lot of things. First of all, it's practical. It doesn't catch on anything. It doesn't get in the way. It's quite hard to break because everything that needs to be in there is encased within a line that's on the inside of the garment. So it actually does look like that. It's not just stock footage. That's a real thing on a real limb right there. It is waterproof. It is mostly shockproof. And what it's for is exactly what it says in the graphics that is in front of you. But the main focus for a physical therapist is really simple. Are you working remotely right now? And do you set home exercise programs? Do you have trouble with compliance? And do you have to do measurement where you're not in the room? Yeah. Now, manual therapy, I mean, that's a hard way to make a living. Full respect to anyone who does manual therapy. I know my thumbs would get tired, right? But there's an awful lot of physical therapy that is all the adjunct activity that goes around the other side of that. It is patient care and relationship building and assuring compliance and making progress through HEPs and doing reevaluations and staying in touch. And that hardware and the software that we build to go with it is designed to do all of that. Wow. Take all the measurements from the individual tests, right? Let's say you've got frozen shoulder, you've got a series of shoulder exercises. Those are delivered through an app to the person. The measurements that are happening in the exercise are automatically saved to the app. That is aggregated and put in front of you so you can see the progress of any person over time. And the whole thing connects on a teleconferencing platform.
Wow.
So when you teleconference in the first place, you can say, I asked you to do your HEP 5 times this week. You did 3. Honestly, that's not too bad. A lot of people don't seem to make time for this kind of thing. Right. I know, and this is something that's come up over and over again in conversations with people who are in this space. I really want a device to narc on the people that I treat, but I want to know what's going on because I've got people who don't make progress. I've got people who can't follow care guidelines. I want to be connected to them through a thing. Now, we fell into this a bit. I found it really, really interesting. I love talking to PTs. It has become like every time I've got a call during the day where I'm going, oh, I'm going to do some context stuff. I'm going to talk to someone who's a sports mech or exercise phys or physiotherapy or OT or whatever else. This is like turned into the fun part of the day. The thing that happened, the reason that we went into this in the first place is we built a kind of a general use device, but people in the PT space kept coming to us. And it turns out that we are allowed to make this into a medical device and sell it to physical therapists who can use it to do telehealth and bill that to insurance.
And that's so, the big question. Can you bill
yes,
for it?
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, the answer is 100% yes, you can. And when we figured out that that was possible, and also frankly, that we were going to make people's lives a lot easier.
Sure.
Get lots of cool range of motion data, which is at the end of the day, what we really want. Get lots of cool data and help people save their businesses in some case, because this remote therapy thing is challenging. It's much easier sometimes if you say, I'm going to deliver CBT over the internet, cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm going to deliver that over the internet. Okay, well, what do you need to do? Talk to someone. Occasionally, they'll need to sit down. Comfy chair recommended. Now, what do you need to do if you're doing physical therapy over the internet? A lot of the time, you need to observe stuff. A lot of the time, you need to provoke stuff. And then you need to tell people to buy something. Now, it could be simple. I've seen home exercise programs written out with a when my mum got one after her surgery, the surgeon advised that she use a tin of beans. And I found it very funny to watch my mum working on her elbow flexion with a tin of beans. But apparently that's pretty common. It's just the right size and the right weight. So who cares, right? But you might need a TheraBand. You might need something for putting manual pressure on something. You might need one of those there's a variety of the sticks. You might need something with a pressure. You might need some kind of back roller. You might need some other traction device. So people have to get that. And then they actually have to do something in between. Right. And we built something where you can track and structure all of it and have it in the same place.
Wow.
So I will be very happy the first time someone says, we will sell this device to people who make durable medical equipment. And then at some point in time, a physical therapist is going to write to them and it's going to get back to us. And someone's going to say, I now do enough billable remote therapy that my business is viable again. Wow. And when I get that email, I'm going to be really, really happy because that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. I mean, perfect timing, right? And so the graphics we're showing on the screen. And again, the website is cipherskin.com. That's CIPHER skin.com. We're taking a look at the BioSleeve right now. I'm seeing joint angles. I'm seeing current and previous. I'm seeing heart rate. I'm seeing O2 perfusion. I'm seeing, knee, hip. I'm seeing multiple joints at the same time in terms of angles.
Yep.
But what else does this thing measure? And that's just me looking at the website for 5 seconds.
Well, we also have some military applications for this. That are for essentially for, I mean, this is for keeping people safe on the civilian side. The military application is for people keeping people safe in the kind of military PT environment, or right, preventing injury when they're, for instance, maybe getting beat up in boot camp or a selection course or something
right
like that.
Right.
So there is an aspect of it that's also sort of injury prevention. One of the things that I'm that's really cool that I'm really looking forward to adding is something that measures barometric pressure. So we've got that oxygen saturation at some point in time in the future, and then you're traveling around between places that are high up in the mountains. I never thought of this before I went to live in Denver. But if you drive from Denver going west, you start at 5,000 feet and you go up to about 9, even on the road. I have never seen a data set that manages to sew all that together. Look, and there's a lot you can do with everything that goes together, and there's things that I can't tell you about unless we make your listeners sign an NDA.
This is pretty perfect timing, right? How long have you been working with CypherSkin? Because I feel like this is the time, all the things we talk about now in terms of telehealth, measuring, tracking, and communicating, like this is the perfect time for it. But how long has this thing been in production? How long? I mean, you've arrived at the right time.
Well, actually, full time. I've only until recently been on an academic visa, so I've been working in academic research until July of this year.
Wow!
And then finally, it was kosher to do something else, and that was also kind of peak plague season.
Sure.
And everything went a bit strange, and the university industry is in a lot of trouble, and it was pretty bad to begin with. Now, I have known, in some capacity, the CEO and the founders of this company for maybe 5 years. They got advice from me, because obviously I've done a ton of wearable tech stuff. They got advice from me in the very initial stages, and we always stayed in touch, and it went forward, and it got more and more and more interesting over time, and it finally got to the point where we had a discussion. I'm like, okay, well, when it's legal, obviously, when it's legal, would you consider doing this? And then higher education got hit just the same as everything else did in the last little while. There's an awful lot of people out there now who thought, I was going to be a professor, and now it's not going to happen because either the position doesn't exist, or they just can't make the salary work with their life, or something similar. And there is an extent, not entirely, because it's, you know, it's a choice, but there's an extent where I'm one of the people on that pile. But, you know, I like to make it a habit of falling on my feet. And I always wanted to do this. I've always been involved with the wearable space.
Well, yeah, you've got a pretty...
And to be able to do something useful. Do you have any idea how many bad wearable devices there are?
Yes.
Oh, dear. I hope all your listeners have got video, because that was a wonderful knowing look, Jimmy.
Yes.
That was a ripper. Good man. Okay.
Well, you've got a pretty solid, I mean, amazing, intricate background, perfect for exactly where you are for a couple different spaces. Number one, Twitter, obviously. Number two, wearable devices. I think CypherSkin is really, really unique. I think it looks, I mean, the fact that it does what you says what you say it does, like, that's very, very interesting, especially for the time and place we are right now. Future of wearables. I mean, what can you tell me in terms of some applications or directions that things people are going to go? I mean, right now, as people are watching or listening to us live or recorded, you're either holding a device that is probably tracking some of your movement, or you're wearing one. You're wearing something on your wrist, which is tracking sleep or heart rate or, you know, steps. What are some things that someone like me who doesn't live in this world isn't even thinking about, that people like you who are living in this world are actually starting to, or have already been thinking down the road? What are some things that I'm not even thinking about yet?
Okay. One of the big things that is coming is the ability to make what I'll call a ubiquitous wearable. Okay. Now, Google's thinking about this with the acquisition of Fitbit. And Apple's thinking about this with the production of the Apple Watch. And now Amazon is thinking about this as though, I mean, actually, it's funny how a lot of people miss this. It's almost like there's something else in the news right now. But there is actually a new Amazon wearable.
I didn't know that.
it was only released about a week ago. It's called the Halo Band. And the thing that is both simultaneously interesting and also retains the possibility of being quite scary is the fact that all of these companies have a concerted interest right now in the healthcare space. Amazon have already started doing that, for instance. They made a big deal when it happened a couple of years ago. They are looking at the possibility of doing health tracking as an adjunct to their own self-contained healthcare business. Apple have made a few interesting plays, one with the health and the research kit, which is core functionality within the iOS software that's being used to track different health status things. I became a little bit more interested in that when they put in a fertility tracker, which is easy enough to do, but at the same time, extremely fraught, because tracking fertility is one thing, and you know, you're hoping for something and you get a positive outcome. If it's ever used as a contraceptive device or recommended for that, the kind of the direction of causality is the other way around. And you can market something as a self-contained quantity. It can be used in a different way, and that can get a lot of people into trouble. So I became aware of that because I have some interests actually within female-specific wearables. I'm quite male. Like, people tell me all the time, like, you're slightly too Australian. And I'll go, well, that's very rude. there's some kind of hairy chested crossover there, but women specific wearables, what's sometimes called femtech, I still don't know how I feel about that because it sounds a bit science fiction. That's a very, very underserved place for people to have good ideas and build sensors and actually make a difference to people's lives and build something that works. That's my favorite buzzword. That's my favorite backbone that's behind everything. Build something that works. Please, please. I don't care if the interface is ugly. I don't care if the interface is like childish and annoying. I don't care how you report it. Just base it on a scientific principle that exists and please make it work.
Yeah.
I used these for more than a decade, and everything that ever worked was like, there was something that was solid gold about it. It was insight into people. I remember being excited by that idea the first time I found the idea that I could buy something that was that big, that I could put directly over your myocardium, your heart, and get that signal out, and that signal would tell me what you were doing at the time. Paying attention or panicking, or the moment I had access to that interface for the first time, I had one of those moments where I thought, I feel like I'll be around this idea for a while. There was no Damascene moment. It was more, I instantly knew that it was something that was captivating. Anyway, I digress. So one thing is, yeah, be aware of the healthcare infrastructure plays that are going on. Because when that happens, basically, companies that have that many clever people that are that size look at a wearable as an adjunct to the ability to control a market space. They want to go into healthcare because they see massive, utter redundancy within it. And honestly, they've looked at it and think, we could run this from soup to nuts. We may be able to build some of the hardware ourselves, have our own clinic, be our own insurance company, provide the whole thing end to end, and we will still make an obscene amount of money and undercut the people who do it now, who have the most unbelievable inefficiencies. Now, they're right about all that, but monopoly business coming into healthcare should always be regarded with extreme caution. And the wearable component going into that kind of space is part of that. That's very definitely going to be a thing. And as I said, there's the specific wearables that are the sort of like, it's called women only, or however that's allegedly phrased. There's half a dozen different versions of it. No one's quite sure exactly how to put it into words yet. But there are some really interesting There are really interesting fertility wearables now. I can't speak to their accuracy, but it's also no one's tried doing it much historically. It's been underserved. There are a million smartwatches for people who want to go for a run or ride a bicycle around in a circle, but there are not a lot of fertility wearables in particular. And there's some really interesting builds in that space. And that's one area that's supposed to grow a whole lot by itself. If there's anything that's going to turn up and kill, I don't think the sensor tech that I'd really want to see has been invented right now, unless there's something that's just starting out, unless there's something nascent. Because you have to remember the history of wearable devices is littered with small companies who never made it.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like those turtles on the beach where the seagulls turn up and only a couple of them make it to the water.
Yeah,
you stand there looking at the gulls going, oh, I guess this is nature, but oh, wow. Okay, never mind. That's kind of brutal. I've seen lots of companies who I think have great builds go out of business, and then lots of companies whose hardware I do not respect thrive. The list of which we will not go through because it's very rude and I can be occasionally hasty.
We've had guests before on this show talk about what you let off with there, which is your first look into the future wearables, which is what happens when the Googles or the Amazons of the world start to get into this space of healthcare, because there are massive inefficiencies. And if these organizations are nothing else, they know how to fix a process, right? Like just from the process. I'm not saying if it's good or bad or whatever. They know how to process and cut corners, and a lot of times cut humans out of processes, which is great for the bottom line, but not always great for the end product.
Well, I mean, look, if there's one thing that has been continually reflected to me in the kind of human process of knowing PT, it is the double-pronged fact of the fact that putting as much PT as possible on people in general is a superb use of public and private money.
Yeah.
When it comes to lowering drug burden, lowering the basically the raw amount of surgery handed out for any given point in thing, less pain, chronic and acute, less recurring conditions, less readmission, et cetera, et cetera. And the figures vary on what it's worth, but one, it's actually worth a lot of money. And it would be very good. It would be very good for society in general to hand it out like Tic Tacs a lot of the time. And the second thing is it thrives on the human relationship, connection, and interface between the person providing the care and the person receiving the care. It happens a lot. I think of it as being more similar to the therapist space than the biomedical treatment space. Although the thinking and the structure is obviously a lot more biomedical than it is about. But, I mean, there's obviously components of both. So if you think about that in terms of, so this is one really great way that everyone can be achieving less healthcare expenditure. It's good for the people who do the PT because they get to enjoy their lives and get paid. It's good for the people who get the treatment because they get to be less sick and spend less money. It's good for the insurance companies who don't have to pay out for really expensive stuff, which means by definition, it's good for Medicare and Medicaid, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when you start introducing large economic decisions into relationships like that, I will be wary.
Yeah.
I will be wary that you will get it wrong and that you will not make human decisions about human care.
Well, right now we're facing a 9% cut from CMS for physical services.
And I saw that. I try and keep up on my professional PT news these days because, I mean, obviously it's inherent. I can't say that feels like a good idea. I couldn't actually locate the reason behind that apart from we'd like to pay less money for this thing, please.
Well, yes, but the things that you just highlighted, which is, yes, I understand – and I am by no means a financial wizard. I understand saving 9% or cutting 9% feels like a net positive result. But where in fact that all the things that you just listed, if you spent the same or more, you would actually see a savings in all the areas like lower use of pharmacology, lower surgeries, lower pain, so less utilization of the healthcare, a 9% savings could actually be a larger loss. And again, well, I'm financial.
Mate, expert. Who ever thought an economist would make a short-sighted decision?
I know. Who knew?
Yeah. So here, I'll tell you what. Let's drink all the pain away. I've got another one for you. You've got to check this out. Now, this is from a marvelous brewery in New York called Brooklyn Brewery.
Oh, yes.
Monster Ale.
Now,
Monster Ale is a fairly normal beer. They make a big barley wine every year. Now, cop a go at this.
Well, let me get a full screen of that. When I move it over a little bit. Well, you got to read it to me. It says this Monster Ale. I can't read it. My camera sucks.
God damn it. This Monster Ale was born in 2010.
Wow, 2010?
Yep. Is this the oldest beer anyone's brought on the PT Pinecast, Jimmy?
I believe so. A decade?
Yep.
You're a 10-year-old beer.
Yep.
I'm not anti.
Now, I'll share this one with you. Everyone listen carefully.
That was an uncool
thing. There you go. I wish I could send everyone a bit because I've had very, very good luck with this. As much as this is considered to be a regular beer and not a very fancy imported beer, et cetera, et cetera, anything that's this strong, that has this much residual and this much strangeness going on, very definitely benefits from time down. Yeah. And they do a very good job of putting this in crown seals. Oh, that's 10 years old.
Yes.
Beautiful and fresh. I've never had a bad one.
Wow. You know your beers. I like that. Cypher Skin. If someone wanted to find out more about the website, can they test drive it? How can they, you know, not only learn more, but how can they kind of, you know,
this is wide open for business. There is a request a demo function on our website. If you really want to know, we will put on a demo session and you can call us up on the electric internets and we can do that. They are a little bit problematic in office, obviously, right now for disease risks. We can manage it if it's really super necessary, but it is much easier to do it over the internet. And we have a lot of experience showing it off to people right now, so you can do that. Anyone that you can pry out of the contact details there, that's in that contact thing, that email will either go straight to marketing or straight to me. And my office is next to marketing. So that makes it really easy.
I love it.
I'm one of the easiest people to find in the whole world because of all the noise and public silliness. So I can take you through anything you like. We have plenty of public facing material that's there for you to read. I'm working on some white papers that people might enjoy. Yeah, we've got to, you know, well, I'll send you a marketing deck if you want. if we're not thinking of starting to raise a Series B round, but if anyone's got somewhere between $10 and $30 million, I'll take that too.
There you go.
actually not required. There's finally that situation is reasonably stable for once, but just in case it's going.
I love it. All right. We're going to do a segment of the show called Three Questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Three questions brought to you by our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. Find them online at AureusMedical.com. Mentioned them at the top of the show. That looks good. That monster looks good, Brooklyn.
Mm.
Looks like you were enjoying that. You can tell.
Fascinating.
AureusMedical.com. Again, go there. Find out where your career can take you. AureusMedical.com. So first question's a where question. You split your time between Denver and Boston.
Yep.
But if you could go anywhere in the 50 U.S. states, is there any spot you would want to go spend more time? Maybe somewhere you haven't been, or is there somewhere you like and want to get back to?
There's a weird remote place that's in Maine. That's quite uncommon, not a tourist joint, called Scudic Beach. It's out of the way. It's very, very attractive in the sparse, bleak kind of way that I liked. If I could have a little cabin there where people would not talk to me for a while, And I could sit by that lake and pretend I was Henry David Thoreau for a little bit. I would like to spend more time in my hypothetical cabin.
All right. Well, cats are the
best. And Scudic. I've never been to Yellowstone, and I really want to see that up close.
You got to go to Yellowstone. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't been here long enough to see everything.
All right. Second question on three questions is a what question. What's something you've watched, read, or listened to, a book, a movie, a podcast that you think the audience could get value from?
That's a really difficult question. I'm going to recommend something really weird.
I like it.
Okay. There is a French philosopher called... he was Romanian, but he wrote in French and he lived in France forever, called Emile Cioran, who was the only real serious proper nihilist, pervasively pessimistic, wrote almost entirely in aphorisms. And this is not a guy who is... It's very popular right now to be continually impressed with the Stoics. And there are a variety of other philosophers who've occupied that space over time. But the only one that I can read, the only one that I can actually sit down and read is Cioran, because he wrote almost entirely in aphorisms. And he was such an unusual man, and there's something that's so electrifyingly unpleasant about the way that everything is presented. It's really an experience. I really, really like this guy. I would read either On the Heights of Despair or The Book of Delusions, which are the first two from the early 30s, which are the first two that were translated from the Romanian. Let's not get into what he thinks, because I mean, everyone's got enough bummers in the world as it is right now.
We are filled with
bummers. Trust me, if you want something that's genuinely different that you haven't read before, that is not popular for very good reason, definitely not for younger viewers.
Got it.
Have a go at that. It was very, very influential in my life, and it's not something that I'd normally talk about, but you asked.
All right. Last question on three questions is about a person. Who is someone the audience should know more about? I purposefully leave that kind of open-ended.
Who's someone the audience should know more about?
I would frame it like maybe someone who's doing good work but is flying under the radar.
You're talking about someone who's actually alive.
Necessarily. I mean, you just talked about, you know, philosophers and whatnot.
I would say Qing Shi.
Okay.
The most famous, most successful, most unusual pirate in history.
Okay. That's worth a Google for me.
Yep.
All right. Last
thing. She was from Guangzhou in China. There was a point in time where she had, I think, 20,000 pirates in a pirate fleet, and a fleet of about 1,500. The entire story of her life, as like this woman could kick Blackbeard's ass, right? She's the most legitimate pirate in history, and that's probably the most badass occupation, unless you're actually a Viking who sets his head on fire for entertainment. I mean, that is like, she was pretty much history's ultimate badass, and no one's ever heard of her.
I like it. Well, now it's definitely worth a Google. Last thing we do on the show is we call it your parting shot. You ready for that? Let's do it. Parting shot brought to you from our friends at the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. Find them online at orthopt.org. Got some more contests coming from those guys. Leaders in orthopedic physical therapy. I feel like a lot of ortho PTs would be pretty interested in CypherSkin.
I read that website all the time. It's a very good resource for someone who's moving into this space and trying to learn more about it. A lot of good articles, a lot of good other content. I really like their work.
Got it. Orthopt.org. James said so. All right. So parting shot really is just your your mic drop moment. What's the sentiment or idea or thought that you want to leave with the audience as we wrap up?
The single best thing you can do in any given business is to find out a way to help other people and make them money. There are only three things that you can really sell people: time, money, health. If you make all three of those for other people, or you facilitate other people doing one or the other of them, you will enjoy your life. Make other people money, give them back their time, make them healthier. If you stick, this is like, I figured that out quite some time ago. I was like, if we mix all these together in a bucket, I'm genuinely going to enjoy my life.
Smart.
Helping, doing science, beating up bad research and helping other people.
Love it. That's
a good way to live, man.
A good way to live. Follow him again on that Twitter, just says in mice or at James Heathers. James, appreciate it. Think the insight is great. Love your background, and but also where you're bringing the background to doing what you just said, getting people back their health, saving them time, or bringing the money. So thanks for doing what you do, and I loved hearing you talk about it.
All right. health for the patients, time and money for the PTs. Yeah. That's B2B2C business in a nutshell.
Appreciate it. James, thank you for your time, man.
Hey, anytime, Jimmy, if you ever want to do it again, I'll have to find two weirder beers and we'll kick it all over a second time. Love you, man.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Let's do it.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love it.
I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.